Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. I, too, want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. This morning, I'm going to be looking at a subject that at first I thought maybe was going to be easy, but as I studied into it, got in a lot deeper. And it worried me a little bit to get up front here, so I do covet your prayers as I try to keep this all straight here. This morning's title is called The Origin of Halloween. We're coming into a time of the year that you see the people starting to celebrate. Decorations are going up. People are talking about, you see the sales in the stores. You don't miss what the society is doing around us. I plan to have a little bit two parts. We're going to talk about a bit of a history, and hopefully I don't bore you all here in this all here. But then at the end, we're going to focus a little bit, how do we relate to this at the end of our time there. In the United States, we have somewhere around 11 or 12, would you say, federal holidays. Then there are a lot of, would you say, other holidays that some are listed in the calendar, some are not. Not necessarily federal holidays, but it's, would you say, other religious holidays. And each of these holidays, we as Christians need to make a choice on whether we recognize them or not. Do they promote God, or do they promote things of this world? You could ask yourself, would Jesus observe this holiday? By observing it, you're telling the world, I support it by taking part in it. By observing it, you're telling the world that you support what it means. But we're looking at a holiday here. It's a holiday. Halloween is one of those holidays that I don't feel that the conservative church has struggled to stay away from. But how much do we allow ourselves to get involved? Halloween has become very commercialized. The stores, I would say, love it. There is over $15 billion spent in costumes, candy, and decorations every single year. And we rub shoulders, you could say, every time we go to the stores, starting in August. And we see it everywhere, whether we're shopping or driving down the road. And we can't necessarily avoid seeing it. So I ask this question, so what is really wrong with Halloween? There's definitely some obvious things from our perspective that stand out, but so what really is wrong? We pass Bibles out on Halloween night here, and we see a lot of people. There's probably, I don't know, if you count everyone, it'd be a couple thousand people that pass by on the street here. And yes, there's nasty, evil costumes, but is it wrong to go trick-or-treating if you dress up in nice outfits? There's many a family that make it a family night out. And some of the families we see coming by here, the children are laughing and talking and having a grand time as they run from house to house and getting candy. I ask this question: if you're doing it for fun and not supporting evil, then is it wrong? The church up the street has trunk or treat. And that is where they decorate their cars and they dress up in, would you say, non-evil outfits and serve treats out of the back of their cars. It's in the church parking lot and for a good cause. So is that okay to do? To get answers to all of that, we need to dig in to the true meaning of Halloween. And where did it come from? Over the years, things can get so diluted and watered down that you have to dig back. In this case, we need to go back really, really far. While the name Halloween is relatively in recent years, so to speak, we're going to start our study in around the 500 to 600 BC time frame. This is long before Christ's time. Well, we're going to be starting there. In reality, it started way before that. If I have time, I'm afraid time is going to run away from me here. But if we have time, I might touch on that later, on where it goes back to. I also do want to say that I don't guarantee to have my facts 100% correct and open to correction, but I gleaned a lot of these from numerous sources. And I thought I'd present it as I took it. We're going to be starting to look out in our study here at a specific group called the Celts. Some of you may have heard about them, know where they live, but hopefully, we're going to follow down through this. The Celts are shrouded in a lot of, would you say, mystery on where they all came from and what they all did. But there's enough of documented history to get a glimpse into their lives. The Celtic people lived in Europe, mainly in, Spain and France. Many of them were farmers. And they herded cattle and different animals, and also traders. But in around the 500 BC, the Romans started invading Spain and France, and a lot of the Celtic people moved into the current day Ireland. Just to talk a little bit about them, what their religion was, the Celtic people were not a God-fearing people, but they were a pagan people. People that worshiped the natural world and its elements. So they would worship the earth, moon, stars, sun. And since they deemed the elements of the earth to be holy, they would hold their worship in sacred places like rivers, cliffs, and other natural sites and groves. This is why the Stonehenge is known to have a lot of pagan history behind it. It was a place they worshipped at. I will say, hopefully I don't include too many gory details or anything. And if I do, afterwards you could tell me I should have eliminated it, I guess so. In the pagan worship, they would offer sacrifices of animals and humans to pay off the evil spirits and to keep them away and to guarantee prosperity for the coming year. In the pagan religion, there was a couple religious holidays that they observed. And while there were several, there's one in particular that we're going to focus on here that I would say is some of the roots of the current holiday of Halloween. It was a holiday, or you could also call it a festival, that was filled with tradition and also sacred rituals. And this holiday was called Samhain. If you're ever doing the research, it's not how you spell it. It actually looks more like Samhain, but it's called Samhain, is how they would pronounce it. I don't know if much of you ever had come across that or what it was. But I will say I was shocked how closely the resemblance was. It was no holiday that was peaceful event. It was filled with fear, death, and things, would you say, all things scary. It was a time of celebration of the death. Samhain was observed on November 1st of every year. It was a celebration as observance of death of summer and marked the beginning of what they called the darker half of the year. The celebrations would start at sundown at 6 p.m., which is right around 6 p.m. on the 31st of October, and go to the sundown on November the 1st. And just a note to remember, one thing that just really stood out, that holiday started the very same time of day that traditional trick-or-treating starts. Trick-or-treating average start time is 6 p.m. on the 31st. So just keep that in mind. Over this time, they had huge bonfires, especially on top of hills, which was believed to scare away the evil spirits. The souls of the dead were thought to visit their homes on this day. The autumn festival acquired sinister significance with ghosts, witches, goblins, black cats, fairies, demons of all kinds. There was praying to the spirits. And they would do this most times outside, so they would be outside because they worshipped in nature. They worshipped the nature. So they would usually go take a broom. In that time, it'd be probably an old-fashioned broom. It'd be like a corn broom to sweep the ground first, to clean the area of any leaves and trash or anything like that. What other holiday has witches, ghosts, black cats, brooms? Just think about that. You know, we're not very far into this, and we look like we are talking about the current day, Halloween. At night, the world of gods was believed to be made visible to mankind at night. The gods played many tricks on their mortal worshippers. It was a time fraught with danger, charged with fear, and full of supernatural episodes. Sacrifices and gifts of every kind were thought to be vital, for without them, the Celts believed, they could not prevail over the perils of the season. On this night, the priests, they had The Celtic people in their worship had priests. They were called druids, and they were the one in charge of offering sacrifices as an appeasement to the spirits, so that they would not leave, so that they would leave them alone. They would dress up in costumes. These druids would dress up in costumes in hopes that the spirits would mistake them as one of them and leave them alone. On this night, it was believed that the veil between death and the living was the thinnest, which allowed the spirits to pass back and forth. To this day, in Satanism, the high holy day of Satanism is none other than October 31st. And this goes on for over 1,000 years before we see another big influence into the current day Halloween. This all was before the church, the Catholic Church, tried to Christianize the holiday. There's a segment of people that claim that Halloween is a Christian holiday because of the involvements that the Catholic Church had in it. And we're also going to focus on that next as we move along our study here. The Catholic Church in its early years, they would make someone a saint if they were martyred. They would then set a date aside to recognize that saint. But what started to happen, there was so many people that were becoming saints because of all the martyrs that were happening back then, that they were getting close to recognizing the dead, would you say, every single day. So it only seemed logical, would you say, in order to streamline things, the Catholic Church made a day called All Saints Day to consolidate all those saint worshiping into one day. On this day, they would recognize and also pray to the known and unknown dead saints. The Catholic Church also, over this time period, saw all the wickedness of all the pagan holidays. And in order to try to get rid of them, they started their own called Christian holidays on the same day of the pagans. You could say they were trying to hijack the evil and take them back for God. It is also believed in some of the writings that they set their holidays with the pagan holidays so that it would be easier for the people to convert from paganism to Catholicism. So Pope Gregory III, around 740, and this is after Christ AD, had proposed that they move All Saints Day to the pagan day of Samhain on November the 1st. Then in 988, they created another holiday called All Souls Day on November the 2nd. This was the day that they would pray to the souls that were trapped in purgatory and needed the prayer. These people that they believed were trapped in purgatory, they believed that they needed the prayers of their loved ones And what's very interesting is, with the holiday of Samhain, the Catholics also celebrate it with large bonfires, parades, and costumes. And they would dress up as dead saints, angels, and demons. So all this together, we see that the Catholic Church had All Saints' Eve on the 31st, All Saints' Day on the 1st, and All Souls' Day on the 2nd. And this all together was referred to as All Hallows Mass. And over this time of Hallow Mass, the poor needy children would come knocking at houses, and the residents would give them these little cakes called soul cakes. And in turn, those that would receive those little cakes would agree to pray for those in purgatory. And they believed that if enough of prayers were uttered for the souls in purgatory, the soul that was stuck in purgatory would fly from there to heaven. But if these children did not receive the soul cakes to eat, when they came knocking, those children would then play tricks on those in the household. I would expect the majority of the people in that time frame didn't even realize they were mimicking into detail the holiday of Samhain. In 1556, the Scottish referred to the 31st as All Hallows' Eve, which means All Hallowed Evening or Holy Evening. And when used in the English language, it was pronounced Halloween. And that is the process of where the name the Halloween has come from. Just talking real briefly, you could ask how did these customs come to the Western world, to us today? These people were mainly in Europe and Ireland. How did it get here to the United States? And it's just, would you say, a little fun fact here. The Celtic people in Ireland were farmers and raised a lot of potatoes. And you can say, how does potatoes relate to this all? But I found this very interesting. Well, in the years of 1845 to 1852, so about 7 years, they had what they called a potato famine. And they had year after year crop failure due to weather and disease. And because of that, there is estimated to have been 1.5 to 2 million Celtic people that moved to the United States over that time alone, bringing along the pagan traditions of Samhain. So now we have the traditions of Samhain and also the Catholic holidays all mixed and blending together to what we know currently today as the Halloween that we experience today. So what is the Halloween that we know today? We see the costumes. In the Samhain festival, it was used to trick the spirits to leave them alone. People dress up here today for Halloween to scare others that they meet up with. Trick-or-treating. And saw when people would put food and drink on the porches to appease the spirits. In Africa and places like that, that the pagan religion is still openly active, I'm going to call it. It is everywhere, but in some places a little bit more open. To this day, they still take food and gifts to the local witch doctor on October the 31st to keep the spirits from casting a spell on them. I couldn't go talk about this without talking about the pumpkin. The jack-o'-lantern. I will say at this time, in the study of Halloween, there are so many legends that you're trying to figure out really what is factual and what is just a crazy story. But the one that I could not debark as just a crazy story is that it is believed the jack-o'-lantern is a representation of the head of those offered on the human sacrifices on the Celtic holiday. In this time of the year, there's people have parties and they have bonfires. Bonfires seem as a joyous time and a party. Bonfires brought joy and hope to the Celts and the Catholics because they believed it kept the spirits away. If you also look at the origin of bonfire, it was called bonfires. Not only was it to keep the spirits away, it was also used to burn the bones of the leftover sacrifices. And I'm not here saying you shouldn't have bonfires, but it's just something to think about. What are we calling what we're doing? It was a time of a celebration of the dead. So where does this leave us today? What is our stand as a Christian on the subject of Halloween? While we see all the evil that goes on, do we still struggle to abstain from it? Do we find the desire to go to the local fall fests? Do we keep our lights on Halloween because it's fun to see all the little children running up and handing out candy? We see the so-called Christian Church of Society saying, see, it's based off of All Saints Day. It's a holy day. So therefore, it's okay to celebrate it. We see that All Saints and All Souls Day, that they prayed to the people that had died. So since when does the Bible ever say that we should be praying to the dead? And since when can the dead intercede for us? Deuteronomy 18:10 says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, and a consulter of familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. A necromancer is someone that speaks to the spirits and the dead. But we see that it's an abomination unto the Lord to do this. If you're using the fact that Catholics put the All Saints' Day into the pagan holiday to justify your interactions with Halloween, I must tell you that you're very much mistaken. The actions that happen on All Saints' Day and also All Souls' Days is a direct abomination to the Lord. Because we are not to be praying and speaking to the saint, dead people. According to the Lord, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, holy about that. We also hear it being said that we take our children trick-or-treating for... We also hear it being said by those around us at times that we take our children trick-or-treating for something fun. They say that they don't take part of the evil things and that they don't believe in spirits, but they do it for the children. They say that it is okay to do it because their intentions are to focus on the good parts of it. I want to tell you that God does not care about our intentions. He doesn't care how good of our intentions were, does not justify what we do. He never cared what our intentions are, and he never will. In Exodus 32, just going to look at a couple verses I just found very interesting there. It says, Moses, this is the time that Moses goes up into the mountain, and he goes up, and I'm not sure exactly how long, but it goes on for like, I would say a month, I'm going to say. It was a little bit of time period. And I'm going to guess that they thought that he was never coming back. So they made themselves a golden calf. Their intentions were to worship God through this golden calf. And in verse 5 of chapter 32, we see that they wrapped up making the calf, and they say, and it says that tomorrow they will make a feast unto the Lord. Their intentions were good. Their intentions were to still worship God. But we see just a few verses later that the Lord's wrath was waxed hot against his people. We see that their intentions were good and that they were trying to serve the Lord, but we see them that by making a golden calf, they were bringing in the pagan symbol into their worship. God is a jealous God, and he wants all of us and not part of us. I had to think of the example that Dwayne had presented the other Sunday about the two cups with water and dirt. You think of the Catholics and they have their holy water, and I got to thinking, it's like, I don't care how much holy water you pour in that cup of mud, it's still going to be mud. They tried to succeed at Christianizing a pagan holiday, but it still remained pagan. We think of the churches that have trunk or treat. While they are trying to make a safe spot for their children, It's like building a golden calf to worship God. It still has pagan roots. It doesn't take it away just by changing the name. Like one writer said, you can glue as many oranges on an apple tree, but it still remains an apple tree. The roots in the ground makes the tree for what it is. Same goes with Halloween. You can hang as many crosses on Halloween as you want, but if the roots are pagan, it doesn't make it right. First Corinthians 10:20. But I say that things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye would have worship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of the devil. Do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? You may not struggle to stay away from things related to Halloween, but I challenge you to not fall asleep because it feels far from us. The devil is sly and wants us to become lax. Maybe it's just some for old pumpkin that you have around that starts to go bad, and do you let your children carve them for fun before they end up in the garbage pile? I'll let you decide what is right or wrong, but I challenge you to be careful. First Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil. Let's kneel for prayer.